Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with Dan Mangina and Alex King. This is December the 10th, 2019. It's 4 p.m. in New York, but wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy to see my crew here dancing to the music. They are in their usual crazy mood, and that always bodes very, very well on this show. So you can look forward to a really high energy show. So first things first, I want to ask you, Alex, how is it that you're so high energy without the unicorn t-shirt? You have the unicorn horn on, but not the t-shirt.
Well, I was always high energy even before I bought the t-shirt 2 weeks ago.
Oh, come on, that's a simple answer.
I mean, keep it simple, stupid. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
And Dan was absolutely dancing up a storm as the music started. He's been basically as gracious as you could possibly be. That's always a little bit of a forewarning that something really explosively positive is going to be coming out of his lips. So, Dan, how are you doing today?
Very good. I'm in good flow. I had an energy clearing this morning with an energy worker that I work with. She's amazing. She does the group clearings for some of my coaching programs. Oh. So I did that this morning, and it felt fantabulous. There was some great insights, some interesting pieces. I'm feeling really light. I had a really great phone call to connecting with someone my friend introduced me to. He's a channel called David Strickle, I believe it's pronounced. He's got a he channels something called The Stream. And what I love is it's all about law of attraction, but zero fluff. So he's a cross between Abraham and Paul Selig.
Wow. Okay.
Very, very, very good stuff. So, I'm going to be on his podcast in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be on mine, so I'm really looking forward about that. I really want to introduce him to you because I think he will be a great guest.
Okay. We'll book him. Just bring him out, and we'll set him up for one of our shows, and we'll just bring him in, and, you know, we'll just do it as – we'll do 4 instead of 3 on Tuesday.
I haven't told him about that, so I've just said it live, so be it. I'm in a really good groove, really, really good groove, getting ready to travel for Christmas with the lady person, and last week was birthday week, so excited about that.
Happy birthday.
Thank
all
you.
Around, I love that.
Yeah, so me and the lady both have our birthdays on the same week. So
same week? Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, oh, birth week, okay.
Yeah, so she's Monday and I was Thursday.
Nice.
Very good. And so you're another year smarter and another year more advanced, another year higher energy. That's pretty good.
I like those declarations. I claim them. Thank you.
They didn't say that to me on my birthday, so just be happy.
Well, we have this new thing going
on. You don't need
that. Well, even unicorns need a little energy boost now and then. But remember, Alex, we're doing this rampaging thing as a relatively new thing. So we're starting
facts.
To, you know, this is like, you know, getting it off the ground. And we actually were a little bit negligent last week. We really didn't do a whole lot of it. So we got to do a little bit more this week just to kind of raise that energy, especially since our favorite live stream listener, Jeffrey, who's with us more often than any other live streamer, says he lives for the rampaging. So we've got to do some more rampaging.
Oh, he lives for it. Okay.
He lives for them, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so okay. Time for a little rampaging.
No pressure.
So Dan got us started with some of the good things going on in his life. I'm not sure how much of a rampage I can do right now because I have been in programming mode all day long, literally doing computer programming, which is a very narrow path. You just do one thing repeatedly over and over and over again. It's a rampage. It's just not a really happy rampage necessarily.
Or you could be grateful that you know how to code.
Well, actually, what I'm grateful for is that I'm learning how to code on this new to me platform. So that's the good part. I'm expanding my horizons. I'm doing literal expansion and I'm doing spiritual expansion all at the same time.
Now, what is this program like? How would it apply in real life?
It is originally going to be for my wife's gardening services business.
Okay.
Basically, a soup to nuts from beginning customer contact through the bill and everything in between. Because so much of that has been done manually.
Right.
That, you know, eats up a lot of time. So this is going to be a major time saver, assuming I can pull this off. This is actually something that I tried to do a year ago, but without the tools that I'm working with now and I couldn't do it. It was right. just more than I could handle. Mm-hmm. But with these new tools, I've been basically going to school for the last month and a half online, learning this stuff, and I'm getting it.
Nice.
I got a ways to go, but I'm getting it. And I'm hoping to be able to start on the project itself by first of the year. So,
sweet. You
know, good stuff.
Well, this is for you.
Well, thank you.
And so is this one.
Oh, I get two thumbs up. I love that. Yeah. I love it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll make sure that I program that into a return statement. So,
that was
So Alex, what's good going on in your life?
Good going on in my life. Not a lot right now, but I am grateful for things. My uncle passed away this weekend. However, I am grateful that he got to live his best life for the last 9 months. Like, he's went out doing everything he wanted to do. He went to like five or seven Patriots games. He came to visit us. He came to visit us. Went to Florida. Went to what's it called? All the casinos, all the churches, he got to do everything he wanted to do.
He bucketed that list.
He really did.
Well, his wife made sure that it happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a very supportive wife. That's a truly dedicated human being. He was living to the fullest, which is good for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. I mean, we're sorry for your loss, but that's a great way to go out.
Yeah, I agree.
I celebrate that life, and I celebrate a joyful transition into another way of experiencing life in another
form. Mm-hmm. We often forget that when somebody passes. We forget that, you know, they're moving into a different, they're transitioning into a different place. You know, it's not like it's the end of them in that physical body, but that's not the end of them. They keep going.
That's why I'm not upset.
Yeah. It's easy to forget that.
There's two pieces on the passing. First of all, again, it's the same David Schumer. David, he was saying that he did a Facebook Live the other day, and he was saying that he now has a better relationship with his mum now that she's passed, and he connects with her on the other side.
All the baggage is gone.
Yeah,
like now she's like, oh, that was me being a human. I wasn't so groovy. But that's number one. And then number two, anyone who's perhaps listening to this and isn't on the groove of what we're saying about people being in another form, which I wasn't up until, I was kind of, but I kind of wasn't, up until last summer in Mexico City, I heard Bruce Lipton give the most scientifically sound and profoundly simple explanation for it. Mm-hmm. I won't do an injustice by explaining, but I'd say go and look up Bruce Lipton, Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton, look up his explanation that scientifically shows how consciousness is just a broadcast and our bodies are just the TV that we use to basically view reality through. It was, and it really, I got it because I was caught up on the whole other side thing. All right, cool. Yeah, have fun with that, mate. But now I'm like, okay, yeah, it makes sense to me. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Lipton is an amazing person. He truly is. He's written some remarkable books. His research is absolutely off the charts. He will eventually, I think, get the recognition he deserves. He hasn't really gotten that yet within the scientific community, but he will eventually get it because his work is so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's all I wanted to add anyway.
By the way, I have a story I can tell about, it's kind of a fun story about somebody who passed on. First thing I should tell you is kind of a prelude to the story is that in my family there are a lot of Walts, and there are a lot of Louises, actually.
Oh, okay.
I married a Louise. One of those Louises was a great aunt on my father's side who, during her life, was... To put it mildly, she was a bit of a pill.
We've all got one of those.
Yeah. I mean, she just, you know, nothing ever was right. Nothing ever was really good. There was always something to criticize and so forth. And when she passed, toward the end of her life, my sister spent some time with her. And then when she passed, she left my sister her silver service set.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was so put off by her that she refused it.
She wouldn't accept it.
And actually, she accepted it long enough to give it to Louise and I when we got married as a wedding gift. So my sister, who was the least prosperous of everybody who attended the wedding, gave us the most expensive gift, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But she later on had a psychic reading done, sort of a mediumship, where the medium said, there are a number of people here who are part of your family, and one of them is hiding behind another person. And it took a while to find out it was my Aunt Louise. She was embarrassed to be talking to my sister through this medium because of the way she had treated her here on the planet.
So she was hiding.
She was hiding behind this other spirit.
Right. Can you hide behind another spirit?
Apparently you can. I had no idea. You
know? That's funny.
I just want to just throw in the hat. Throw in the ring.
That's good.
Throw in there. There's this thing that I don't know if I brought it up on this show before, but it's people that get caught up in the false idea of omniscience of those on the other side. Mm. Yes, they can see more, but they can't see all. Mm. Some people blindly follow what they get from those that are passed on versus applying discernment to what they get from those who have passed. Mm-hmm. Even the fact that Great Aunt Louise was hiding means that there is a level of fallibility that exists once we transition. That will mean that maybe we don't listen to all the relationship advice that you get from Aunt Louise, but you do take it under advisement. Because mm-hmm. Aunt Louise may see a little bit more of the picture than you can. So I just want to just, like, as we're speaking, you know, playfully and fun about what's going on other realm consciousness, just to bear in mind that discernment still needs to be applied. Because some people mm-hmm. blindly follow what they get.
That's true. And, well, mm-hmm. actually, I've also heard an interpretation of that same event that suggested that when we pass on, we leave behind the cares of this world because the cares are basically stored in the body. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this may have been Aunt Louise's way of basically validating for my sister that it really was her without her actually hiding behind another spirit. Just basically saying, okay, here's proof of who I really am. And I would have been pretty embarrassed to say this.
The medium, I think it's called the evidential medium, the ones that can actually get evidence to say that this is the person who it is. I think it's mm-hmm. evident. One of my friends is one of those.
Okay. So.
Yes, I'm blessed to know a lot of mediums, and I'm very careful never to get a reading from one that I know.
Smart, very smart.
Yeah, Olga, actually, I'm not going to go into the fullness of the story because there's lots to it, and I don't know if she's going to listen to this and beat me up later. She went and got a reading from one of my friends and didn't like everything that she heard, and we basically had some very interesting conversations at home for a little while. I was like, well, why would you go to somebody that you know to get a psychic reading and then be upset about what comes out of the reading, you know? Just, you know, if you're going to open up that can, then be prepared that there may be a worm or two.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to get upset about what's going to come out of a reading, don't go to a reading.
Yeah, that's not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I didn't ask that question, though.
I don't know.
Well, that's why you don't go with someone you know, because it's like you want to make sure that they are legit, so they're not just going off of what they saw on your Facebook page or what they heard about you or whatever, mm-hmm. or whatever they can Google. So
basically, grandma had some stuff to say that she didn't really want to hear.
Well, that was grandma's problem. Don't blame the messenger.
Which was my point. My point was that if grandma's got an opinion, then it's up to you. You have to listen to grandma's opinion or not, but
right.
And if it really bothers you that much, go listen to a copy of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. You'll feel a whole lot better.
Discernment, right? Like it's all choice. No, infinite possibilities, multiple universes, dimensional shifts, every single possibility that can be presented as what comes from anyone, whether it's a medium, a horoscope, a psychic reading, intuition. Every moment we're offered the opportunity to completely re-know that experience through the lens of the now and the choice through which we observe it. Mm-hmm. But that requires a level of discernment and a level of autonomy in your creative experience that not everybody is prepared to own, because then you can't really blame anyone for anything.
Which is the nature of the law of attraction. I mean, the more that you study the law of attraction, the more that I'll put it in the first person, the more that I study the law of attraction, the more I recognize that there really are no opportunities at all to blame somebody else for what it is I attracted.
Yeah, facts.
I mean, I could try to create them. I can try to invent them. But the fact is, every single time I did it, and I can't run away from that. As much as I sometimes tried, I just can't get away from it.
It was always you.
It was me.
Actually.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, another interesting thing and kind of a good thing happening this week is we got a bunch of snow last week, about 10 inches of snow. And from Louise's perspective, it's a good thing because it hasn't all melted away. And I say that because...
I'm trying to get Louise's logic here.
Well, that's my point. A lot of people don't, especially later in the season, are so tired of snow, they don't want to have the snow around. For Louise, it's like, yeah, it's excitement. And the point is, it's all about your perspective.
Facts.
You know? So how are you going to look at whatever it might be? In this case, it was snow. You know, I know that the guys who were plowing the snow around here, they were pretty much done with it after the first snowfall. But, you know, for other people, it's a good thing. It's an exciting thing. For kids, I mean, we have a lot of kids in the neighborhood. Those kids were going nuts. They had their snowboards. They had their sleds. They were riding little pieces of cardboard. I mean, literally. And the hill could only be like 5 feet long, and it was good, you know.
That reminds me of my childhood.
I've never wanted snow. I've never wanted cold. I'm in my happy place now in the sun.
And that's good, too.
I also agree with you. As an adult. Yeah.
The point is that you found the perspective that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
you don't have to go with somebody else's perspective, and you don't even have to like somebody else's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Two weeks like their own.
A friend of mine and her fiancé moved to England. He's from Georgia. They were in Bali. No, they were in Thailand. They moved back to London, and he was like, oh, yeah, I love it here in London. I'm like, dude, you're from Georgia. You're supposed to like weather. He goes, yeah, it's so nice and cold. It's like, cold? Ugh. He's like, yeah, it's so lovely, beautiful and cold. Like, no. Not for me.
I'm good here on the Cape because I get the best mixes of everything. Like, it'll snow, but it'll melt in like 20 minutes. And then it's basically warm. I mean, it does get a little too hot around here sometimes, but what are you going to do?
And there are some people who will say, the Cape, warm? Are you kidding? During the winter? No way.
Yes. The Cape is. I don't know about the over the bridge. Everybody else has snow and cold and wind. But we have that salt air, so it passes right by us.
Salt air does have a temperate experience, effect on what goes on. There's no doubt about that.
I just want sun and sand.
Same.
And the other thing is you can also like all of it.
What was that, sorry?
You can like all of it.
Yeah. I've just made my decision.
And I'm co-signing on his decision.
Because the people of the ocean. That's
I can like almost anything in small quantities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really
balance
love...
is good.
What's that?
Balance is good.
Balance is good. It's balanced, but it's also... wider selection, because when you do things in smaller quantities, that means there's a lot more of them.
Mm.
Right? So if you got more stuff going on and it's always a different thing every time, that's great diversity. I mean, that's a life that's full of all kinds of interesting things going on, none of which goes on for such a long time that it drives you nuts.
Mm.
Okay. I know. Bored so easily.
Say again?
You're not going to get bored so easily.
Not bored? Nope. Nope, you're not going to get bored. Actually, to turn that around, life gets interesting. The more interesting stuff that happens, the more interesting life is. Isn't that funny? So anyway, we don't really have a clear topic in mind. I'm sure our listeners have probably figured that out by now. But
we'll take a look to the right, left. I don't know which way you're facing. Yeah,
well,
thank you.
Well, Jeffrey's saying hello and goodbye. That was about it. He can't stay for this particular episode, so we don't really have a whole lot of cues. If you're looking for cues from over there, we're not really getting the cues from there.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it. The one time we need you. Well, just kidding. We always need you.
We always need you, Jeffrey. Could I just add, what's been really interesting is I want you to listen to that thumping in the background.
We don't hear it.
All last week, peace and quiet. Yesterday, peace and quiet. 8:30 this morning, bang, bang, bang. I had an interview this morning.
I'm sorry, can you do the drill noise again?
I had an interview this morning, and it started literally 2 minutes into just me. But if you can't hear it, then that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did hear some of the pounding there, but it was pretty quiet, so.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's more like tapping than pounding.
Really. Then I'm grateful for this. I'm so happy and grateful that it's not disturbing the show today.
Good, 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 good.
And I'm happy and grateful that it's not disturbing you because of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, another good way to look at a situation that we could easily look at in a not so happy way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the topic for today. How do we look at things in ways that are better than what we would perhaps normally look at them? Mm. How do we pivot? When do we pivot? And when we find ourselves up against something that is difficult to pivot from, what do you do then? That's basically the question of life for a law of attraction conscious creator.
Mm-hmm.
Day to day, hour to hour, moment to moment, second to second. Periodically, we just run into stuff we don't like. Then what do you do?
Yeah.
You gotta get away from it somehow, or you gotta turn your mind, or you gotta change your mind, or you gotta find some way to turn it into a higher vibration thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that the more that we practice doing that, the easier it gets.
Yeah, facts.
That's been my experience, particularly over the last 2-3 years now, actually, because it's mm-hmm. been 2 years now that I've been doing the show daily instead of weekly, and during that time, I've had plenty of opportunities to get frustrated. Especially early on. I mean, Dan, you would not believe how many technical glitches we had in like the first 6 months of doing this stuff. It was crazy. It was just insane. And then I finally realized I was attracting them. It took me 6 months to figure that out. But then once I realized I was attracting them, then I had to figure out how to unattract them. You know, how do you turn that around, right? You know, the technical glitches are still happening. And that's the way it tends to go. It's kind of like, I forget what it's like the Murphy's Law or something like that.
You know, yeah.
The more bad stuff happens, the more bad stuff happens. And it just keeps building up this momentum and building momentum. And if it's something you really dislike intensely, it can be almost seemingly impossible to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
It can seem like you just can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. And like in the case of the technical glitches, I actually had to sit down one time and meditate, not just one time, for about a week or so, on the idea everything is going well in the face of an enormous onslaught of issues that were coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to put some of them aside that needed attention right then and there just so that I could calm my mind down enough to say, you know, everything's working out here. There are no issues. Everything's working great.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they stopped. But it took some doing to do that. And you guys know what that's like. That's the real skill.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to pivot when it's least convenient to pivot.
Yeah, that Murphy's Law thing is, like, legit. Like, people are really... My boyfriend's mom, we were having a conversation, and I don't know how it got brought up, but we were talking about police officers and how they harass people, and I was like, I've never had a problem with a police officer, not once, not never. And she was like, you better knock on wood right now. I mean it. And she was getting upset with me over the phone because I refused to knock on wood. I was like, fine, geez, goodness gracious.
Find me a wall.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I knocked on the table. Jeez. I was like, no, I've never had a problem with the police, not once, not never, never been arrested, never had nothing in my name, never been to court, nothing. And she was like, no. You're going to get in trouble. Knock on wood. I was like, okay.
I like the eyes there. That really sounds very nice.
That really told the rest of the story.
It did, yeah. Too bad the podcast listeners couldn't hear the eyes. Because then
That's the problem. I have my facial expressions are very reckless as opposed to when it actually comes out of my mouth. So
maybe that's something to be grateful for.
I am very grateful.
especially given your line of career.
So I say behind the camera.
The life of a professional unicorn.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But do you guys run into that a lot or even a little? Just you're up against a series of things that just seem overwhelming and you can't seem to get around it.
Yeah. Beyond Intention was built to disrupt that. That's one of the things.
Was it?
Beyond Intention, my model, it's one of the things it was built to do, to disrupt disempowering patterns so you can create new outcomes. And the law of momentum in action is essentially an unconscious program playing out without your conscious permission and doing so at a pace and compounded on top of each other. So having the ability to call time on that and switch timelines or switch lanes is, that's what it's for. So I practice that very regularly. Sometimes I catch myself reveling in it. Oh, I'm going to sit in this feeling a little bit. But yeah, it's taking the time to recognize that you can pivot immediately. The second that it's brought to your awareness that there's something to pivot from is the time to pivot. Really.
I find that the hardest part about pivoting in those situations is you recognize that it's time to pivot, and then there's like this really dark corner of you that doesn't want to.
The addiction. the addiction to the payoff.
Yeah.
That was actually intended in the manifestation of that experience in the first place.
Thus proving that the law of attraction really does work.
It always works. Always. Not always what you consciously choose to attract.
Right.
Law of attraction in action, but I didn't want it. Yay me! Always. We are always manifesting. There's no point in our lives which we're not manifesting. The very fact that we're experiencing anything with our senses is testament to the fact that we are manifesting. But do you choose what you're currently manifesting? And if not, are you ready to let go of the part of you that created it in the first place and pivot into something else?
That's the million-dollar question right there. That's the health or sickness question. That's the relationship or no relationship question. It's all right in that one question. That's it.
And when we're ready to own that what we're manifesting, although we may not consciously desire it, is an aspect of us that did have a desire being made manifest, then we can move beyond it. But without that ownership, we'll keep perpetuating the same thing. And everybody I know that's overcome anything big has recognized that they reached a point where they actually understood. It was just me the whole time. No matter what it was. And we don't like to say that because, again, it means that we can't complain. We can't blame someone else. And we have to own, sometimes you have to own our shadows. This happened to me and that happened to me on some level. That was a manifestation. And it wasn't necessarily at this. It could be at a soul level, right? You can go into that part of it. That there are soul contracts to play out and soul agreements that are played out. There's so many different things. There's been some really beautiful, I think someone was saying that the viewpoint that they got on like small children and stuff that come in and pass very quickly is that actually they're the strongest, most enhanced, high-level souls out there because they're looking for the most like expansively diverse experience of the version of the human experience and therefore choose the most challenging ones. And oftentimes, they're the people that leave the biggest imprint, whether directly through how they show up or by the legacy that they leave.
That's true.
So, you know, there's darkness in the world, yes, but every single piece of that contrast has a role to play. So.
And by the way, you mentioned that we can't complain about it. I've learned, actually, I can complain about it. I'm very good at complaining about it. It doesn't really pay off because it still comes right back to me each time, but I complain anyway.
And that's it, and that's what the post I did on Instagram today was, don't complain about something you're not willing to change.
True.
Yeah, that's true, because complaining can actually be, there can be a positive to complaining. Because complaining can be described as embracing the issue. The question at that point is, how long are you going to complain? Are you going to complain for the next 25 years?
Right.
You know, because that's probably overkill.
A little bit.
And the spirit within which you make that complaint and the intention behind the complaining that you're doing. So if I'm expressing something, I'm expressing something that's here and now, it can be a very empowering thing. If I'm still talking over and over and over again about what he, she, or that did, I'm not actually owning the role that I had in that experience, and I'm never going to be able to pivot out of it. In which case, the complaining is just perpetuating the same experience versus, okay, I'm getting this off my chest. This is real. This is what's happening. Now I can break free from it and no longer have this being true.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask you guys, have you ever used the method of physically wiping something off of yourself that you've been complaining about? like for instance, you know, something's just bugging you, right? And you're complaining about it, and you you so much, you just let it out, and finally you just realize it's like you have the slime all over you, and you have to kind of wipe it off your arms, and you have to wipe it off your chest, and wipe it off your legs, and when you do that, all of a sudden it feels better. Have you ever experienced that?
Of course, because there are two songs, hip hop songs. One is "Brush Your Shoulders Off," and the other one is "Wipe Me Down." So, literally, the dance move goes like this. So, we've been doing this since the 2000s. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Roll those two shoulders off.
Exactly. See?
Thank you, Mr. Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, a.k.a. Mr. Beyonce.
I was just going to say that, Mr. Beyonce.
Yay! I wasn't going to say it. I don't know where it came from, so I
think we've got... We're right here. That's what it was. Yeah. Hashtag Mr. Beyonce.
You know, I've been doing that for years, and I had no idea I was doing a dance. I mean,
You were cool and didn't even know it.
I didn't know it.
Now you have to do it for the camera.
Here we go. I need the music. I need the music. Well, I need the slow motion version.
Well, no, because
I don't do it cool, you know.
Yeah, it's brush your shoulders off, not your whole arm.
but see, I learned to do my entire body because I could literally feel the energy peeling off. So
right,
if I just
did
the shoulders, it would still be stuck to the rest of me.
That's why Jay-Z still had 99 problems later. The shoulder, I got the rest of the arm. I'm sorry, but you need the wisdom of Walt in your life because... Clearly, you don't know what's going on.
99 more problems. Yo, facts, man.
People in the world understood what that joke was.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a song called "I've Got 99 Problems." I'm glad it does the shoulder dance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it on the same album? I think it's on the same album.
Go and dust your shoulders off. Yeah, it is.
It is, right?
I'm going to check the song order. I have to check the song order.
That's why I was laughing so hard, because I know it's like...
I just want to know why he counted all of his problems.
Well, he was going to complain and then brush his shoulders off. I mean, that's what he's going to do.
Is this like a reverse thing of doing a positive rampage? It's a negative rampage. I'm going to count every single thing that's going wrong in my life.
Yeah, and then just cancel them. Just shut them down.
In the way today, obviously. Poor guy. Right. Don't mind me. I'm just being really autistic right now.
Yeah, well, we got to know something. We got to know something ASAP.
Right.
Well, then I'm not sure if I can actually do this, but I'll see if I can bring us back on track. Because right now we didn't just jump the tracks. We basically, you know, fell over into another county. But
oh my goodness. Okay.
What? Okay. Tell me the order. Go.
Shoulders, track 6. Poor guy. Didn't do his arm. 99 problems. Number 9. But guess what number 8 is? Moment of clarity. Thank you.
So he's basically on track, jumping the track, on track, jumping. This is a very schizophrenic kind of album going on here.
Yeah.
Poor guy. They don't have order like they used to.
Anyway.
I mean, I think that's a very diverse life. I'll give him that. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
He's come a long way since then.
Yeah. Married. Small sproglet who's growing.
Oh my god.
I don't even know how to respond to that one.
Do you see what happens when you're not here, Jeffrey? This is what happens, Jeffrey. This is what happened.
Jeffrey keeps his balance and the balance is gone. Oh, dear.
I was just about to do a singing line as well.
All right. So the only thing I can think of to get us back on track is to ask you, if you're in a place like this, how do you get back on track?
Well, I still feel that we're in alignment with the intention of the show. We took a small segue into some fun. There's some contrast here.
Ah, okay.
Mm.
And I was really, really desiring that 99 Problems was after Dirt Off Your Shoulder on the album. So
it's nice to know you got your priorities straight. I can say that's a great thing.
We don't have world peace, but the songs are in the right order.
Facts, man, right?
If Greta was listening to this right now, she'd be really upset with me. She'd be like, our people are supposed to be fighting for justice.
Well, I've got news for you. We actually do have world peace.
Ooh.
World peace really does exist right now.
Are you going to elaborate or?
I'm being perfectly straightforward. World peace exists right now. It's in our mind. It's in our belief. If we believe it, it really does exist.
Okay.
World peace stops when we stop believing in it.
Mm.
World peace stops when we say, well, you know, we need world peace. There isn't any world peace right now. That's when world peace stops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard concept. I'd say it's one of the hardest concepts of being a conscious creator, is recognizing that what happens in someone else's life is not happening in your life unless you let it in.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yes.
I need to find a crystal and drop that.
And that's at the root of all of the stuff that we blame ourselves about, that we blame others about, that we get upset about, that, you know, on and on, blather, blather, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. All the stuff that we get pissed about is because we forget that one fundamental fact. It doesn't touch us unless we let it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let it in. It's a conscious decision or a subconscious decision or an unconscious decision, but we still made it. And we make it every single day, every single moment, every single second, from moment to moment. We're always making that decision. What am I letting in? What am I not letting in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's... why I'm really attuned to this right now? Because I won't mention the topic because everybody knows what it is. But there's a major topic going on right now in the news.
Yeah.
And I see so many people. I've interacted with them. This has actually been like part of a field study, field work kind of thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just interacting with people on where they feel about it right now, you know, what's their position on it, and, you know, being sympathetic to that, and then trying to insert things like, well, you know, the more that you focus on this thing that you don't like, the more you're going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably the response I get is along these lines: that sounds really great, but how can it possibly work in reality? That's what it adds up to, what the response is.
That sentence doesn't even make any sense.
But it does to them.
Yeah, I guess.
See, when you're in a place that is not a good place, when it's just, when you got that negative momentum going, that's the hardest concept to believe in.
Mm.
It's the hardest thing to realize that you're the one who's bringing all this stuff in. And the only way it's going to change is if you stop bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you are irrational.
Mm-hmm.
And logical. Wow. Yeah. As so many people are. So many people are much, and I can say I was one of that people for a very, very long time. I was all about the reason and the logic. Mm-hmm. And it got me absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a good 30 years to realize it.
Yeah.
That's what people do. I'm sorry?
But you're here now.
I am here now.
Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
And I'm trying to tell them, and they can't hear it. When you're in that place deeply enough, you can't hear it because you don't want to, for one thing.
Yeah.
Because it rattles your chains.
Yeah.
And at the same time, even if you did want to hear it, you won't allow yourself to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the power of the victimhood technology. Yeah. Anyways, it is technology.
It is technology now.
But that's what the victimhood platform is. That's what the mm-hmm. victimhood psychology is. That's the word I was looking for. The victimhood mm-hmm. psychology. You got to be able to blame everything else. That's the way the world works. The world works based on blaming. The world works. I mean, the only kind of change that ever happens is when you this I can't tell you how many people told me this one. The only change that happens is when people struggle together and fight for their gains in life. That's the only time you ever get real change, they told me.
Wow.
And I asked them, so when was the last time you had real change? And that really tripped them. They couldn't come up with one.
it's just I mean, I was coaching. So I had a coaching call with someone pretty much immediately before before the podcast today, and we spent 20 minutes playing with an idea, and then it's really funny listening to her say, "What does that word even mean, though?" You know, because we got to a point where we reached the point of breakthrough. It's like, oh, but what does that word even mean, though? But it was the word that she used to describe the thing that set off the whole chain of conversation. As because essentially, a subconscious mind had picked a word that set the whole thing off in the first place. Because once the mind decides that it wants to stay where it is, it will get so creative in the different ways that it's going to use to confuzzle the situation and fill it with all of this stuff. All of these political ideologies and all this other, all of this junk code that's just creating a really messy, undefinable, messy scene that we can't actually just pull clear truth from. Because truth is really straightforward. The universe works on a set of laws. There is nothing really complex about this thing. It's really, really straightforward. But it's not easy because of the layers of junk that we put on top of it. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff, what this person who we shall not speak may or may not have done, and the other person who may or may not have done something else. It's just stuff that we are projecting out to keep ourselves tied up. Almost like in the Matrix, right? Quite literally. The Matrix projection that just keeps us tied up on this stuff while the mind is just feeding off of the energy that's being produced by these experiences.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's it, yeah. In a nutshell. And
that's my
well, you're right. That's exactly what happens. And I guess the most astonishing thing is just how powerful that is. I mean, literally, we get sucked into that and we stay there for long periods of time. We'll fight for it. We'll fight for the things that we like the least. We don't feel it that way, but that's what we do. It's a sad thing. But This is where my own learning has been going lately. I just said it's a sad thing, and I'm learning that it's not a sad thing. And that's still bending my mind. I'm having trouble with that one. But it's not.
At the same time, it is and it's not at the same time, depending on what lens you choose to view your reality through.
It's the perspective, right?
Through the lens of the sad thing, then well done on your manifestation, my friend.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome.
And if you choose for it not to be a sad thing, well done, you're also creative. You're an awesome manifester. It's all, and the more and more time that I spend owning in microshifts, just how profoundly simple and yet true it is that this moment is exactly what I choose it to be. Sometimes, not unless someone else gets involved. Even their involvement is exactly as I'm choosing it. Not was at this level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what picked up. Instead of acknowledging that there's another level of us that perhaps produces an experience that we don't want or has that opinion or that viewpoint that we don't want at this level, embrace it. And then from that space of embrace, you can start to take steps to shift, transmute, and change that viewpoint or even re-examine where that desire came from and ask yourself, maybe I need to just own that and be okay with it.
And sometimes it's also literally just changing the perspective to see what's on the other side of that, of the perspective you had before. Like you guys raised world peace and I kind of jumped on world peace. And if you are in a mind space that says there is not world peace right now, it's a hard thing to see. But you know what? Having looked at the side that I'm looking at and that I have been looking at for quite some time, it's almost laughably simple to see it that way because the planet is a really big planet. And at any given time, there are squabbles going on at various places, hot wars going on, and they occupy a tiny percentage of the overall planet.
Mm.
But we we basically extrapolate that and say, the world's in crisis. Horrible things are going on all over the world.
2 out of 2,000 countries are not getting along.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I guess I see your point when you make it that way.
Yeah. So again, the perspective makes all the difference in the world. And on top of that, you know, like unless you're focused regularly on all of the ways that there is war going on or strife mm-hmm. going on or crisis mm-hmm. going on or whatever, you don't experience it.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are focused on that they're not just attracting it to themselves. They're experiencing it while they're attracting it. Before it's even gotten there, they're experiencing it. Because mm-hmm. that's the method, isn't it? I mean, if you're trying to deliberately attract something that you actually like, you put yourself into the space of experiencing it as if you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine it, and you feel it, and you play it out. They're feeling it and playing out in their minds before it's even come. But what they're feeling and playing out in their minds is the thing they don't want.
Right.
So they actually are already attracting it, and they already experience it. I mean, what's the way that Abraham describes it? 14 seconds, and you get another thought like the one that you just thought of. You know, 60 seconds or so, then you start to get an actual physical manifestation. Well, that's what's happening here. I keep putting out these thoughts about, oh, well, there's this terrible thing going on here and this horrible thing going there. And isn't that awful how bad this thing is? And this thing is really, really bad, and it's getting worse, and it's terrible. And you've got your head in the sand. You got to pull your head out of the sand because there's this really, really bad thing. You know, and you keep doing that and doing that. Now, up until that point, no physical thing has happened yet that's bad.
Right.
But you know
mm-hmm.
it's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that even though that physical thing has to happen, look at all the negative thoughts that have come your way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already living the negativity before it's arrived.
Yeah.
You're building it up. You're getting really excited about how terrible things are. And you're living it while you're getting really excited about how terrible things are.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it is terrible.
Yeah.
You know what? This is like my perspective on why I never get into the climate change conversation.
Oh, yes.
I don't get into it because the fact of the matter is, this is the fact. This isn't my opinion. Everyone's opinion, like all of the main opinions on climate change can be backed up by science, by statistical data. There are statistical data showing that the ice cap is growing, not shrinking. But there are statistical data saying that the water levels are rising. There's statistical data that says the earth is getting hotter. There's statistical data that shows that circular, and it gets hotter and cools down in cycles. There's statistical data that says if the world doesn't turn vegan, then I'm sorry, everyone's going to die. But then there's statistical data that says actually vegan diet isn't healthy for most people. There's statistical data to support everything. And so I just ask myself, what feels like an expansive and from my heart positive thing to do? I recycle, yeah, because it feels like a nice thing to do. I don't like seeing junk on the road, so I recycle. I don't use aerosols and stuff and all that other toxic, but not because I'm like out of fear. It's because I prefer to use natural homeopathic groovy stuff. That's where I stand. Is the world going to be here? The world is going to be here. Humans may or may not. But I'm not projecting myself to a future that hasn't happened yet. I'm simply enjoying the experience of my ride on this little piece of rock in my little meat suit. Because at the end of the day, my broadcast is going to be in another meat sack at some point anyway. And all of that's happening in a singular, eternal now that we're witnessing through the lens of the illusion of time anyway. So why on earth would I suck up my energy getting caught in all these sad tales about things that may or may not happen, but actually have and also haven't happened all at the same time, all as opportunities for me to witness, depending on what I'm in line with, through my vibration here in the now?
That was beautiful.
I loved it.
That was absolutely beautiful. And I'll add on to it a little bit, because I mentioned earlier I was programming today. I've been programming all week. I've been learning programming. I've been practicing programming. There's nothing like learning even rudimentary programming to reinforce for you how you can make a computer say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even matter what the data set is, because you can always change the data set. You can always massage it and twist it and turn it and replace it. Oh, this one isn't appropriate, but that is. And you can make it say whatever you want. You can make a computer say 2 + 2 = 6. And it's really easy to do. A 6-year-old can do it. So I don't say that to be flippant. I say that to make a point. We can literally make the world whatever we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham had some people in the hot seat who were really pushing the "what is" button. They were saying, "No, you're not being real. You have to pay attention to what is, because what is what is. That's what we're actually dealing with here." And they were just going on and on about that. And mm-hmm. Abraham's response was, "We love you. We love you because you're the ones who keep the physical structure in place. If it wasn't for you, you know, rocks would be flying up into the air and, you know, all this crazy stuff. You're the ones who keep the structure in place. Thank you very much."
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Matt Kahn, who I did group one of his videos. I was like, "This is amazing. I love him." I watched another one. I was like, "Oh, my goodness. I hope not too many people are listening to this." That he said that I really, really loved was that all the beings in other dimensions all want to come here because this is where it's actually happening. Mm. Like, everything's actually, really, actually happening here. And that's the big adventure. Like, I don't remember if he was talking about, like, the whole starseed conundrum, whether it's like, I don't remember what he was talking about. It's like, but everything's happening here because it's actually, mm-hmm. like, this is like Mecca for everybody. That I apologize, seriously, if anyone's offended by that, I apologize using that word. I do. But it's like the fantasy land that everybody wants to come to. Like all these interdimensional, it's like they've got physical matter. Wow, I want to go there. I want to escape. I want to be out of my meat suit and I want to transcend and actually project. And I was like, but we want to be where you are. That's where everything's happening.
Tickets, get your tickets. Go to physical world. Get your tickets.
It's physical world. Oh, man.
Yeah. Have either of you two been to Santa Fe, New Mexico?
No.
A long time ago, yes. When I was in my early teens, that was the last time I was there.
Did they have Meow Wolf there when you were there?
I don't remember that.
Oh, never mind.
Tell us about it.
He's just going to start the engine and then leave us in the car.
You got to tell us.
Meow Wolf is this really interesting art installation. It's really it's a mystery. It's an art installation. It's also an expose on interdimensional travel and alien activity on planet Earth. It was for someone that's been into the paranormal, interdimensional stuff, secret societies and other levels of consciousness for 20 years, I was like, wow, they've just got the truth out here and everyone thinks it's fun. It's like, actually how reality was made. But that's that, and that's really that, and that's what they were really talking about in the Bible. And it was like, oh, this is fun, and look at these lights. But one of the things in there, so one of the things that they got this house, I'm not going to go into too much because there's some people that may go and do it. But basically, there are parts of the house where there are splits between dimensions, and you go in and then you go through that like a washing machine, and then you're in like alien world where everything's upside down and so on and so forth. But one of the things they've got is they've got like an interdimensional like airport, basically, where people can come to and like basically interdimensional beings come to and from our plane of reality. And I just thought I was wanting to know if anyone had seen that, because we're talking about...
No, but that sounds cool.
If you've done that, you love Zero Space. If you can get to New York and go to the Zero Space installation, mm-hmm. I love it so much, like in contact with them about investing in them, taking their installation to other parts of the States. Really? It's a really, really cool experience. So anyone who can get to New York, pick out Zero Space.
Okay.
It's like 30, 40 bucks, worth every penny, good fun.
Okay, I'll check mm-hmm. that one out. I can tell you, if the one in Santa Fe had been there and had had any attention at all, I'd have remembered that. There's no way I would have forgotten a PR piece about that.
You'll spend hours there and still not actually take it all in.
Because
you can get caught in the mystery and the actual stuff, and then they've got these little hidden video like monitors that play part of the backstory that's actually talking about the creation of reality and how light split into darkness and darkness into light and the beings that came out of that and how they wanted to create and express themselves. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I especially like the C.S. Lewis thing about, you know, going through a mirror to another dimension or whatever. That sounds like fun.
Agreed.
I think there's a slide in one of them as well or something. So
nice.
Meow Wolf if you're anywhere near Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Zero Space in New York.
What do you think, Alex? You want to do a field trip to New York?
How about you go?
You first.
You're closer. And then you can video call me and then just show me everything that's happening.
Oh, you're not allowed to use video cameras in there.
Damn it. All right.
I'm joking. You can.
Okay. I was going to say.
But you will enjoy it. You will really, really enjoy it, especially if you are chosen. I'll leave it at that.
Oh. If you are chosen.
Just.
Okay. Okay.
I just have one question. Who's doing the choosing?
That's the question.
That's part of the experience.
Uh-huh. Mm. Okay.
Does it matter?
No.
Ultimately, not really, no.
Because he didn't get chosen here.
Well, I guess what I mean is that it only matters if I think that it matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So if I think that it matters, then it matters.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, what we weren't talking about was our promos, which we need to do because we have 3 minutes left.
This is true. Yes, we should get those done. And they are important because that's how our listeners, by the way, our listenership, it's like a tick away from averaging 500 per episode.
So who's going to be the last tick?
We're at like 494 on average right now.
Nice. That's
how close we are.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do a promo. I'm going to do a promo posty thingy stuff. I'm going to go in the hard promo this week then. Let's get to 500.
All right. Well, then.
I'm going to do some manual outreaches, and I'm going to do a Facebook Live today in my Facebook group.
The gauntlet has been thrown down. Well, for those of you who are listening then who have not yet subscribed so that you can become a regular contributor to that 500 number or greater, become a listener on a regular basis by subscribing. Just go to loatoday.net, and you'll see the instructions right at the top of the page. And also subscribe to us on YouTube, because then you can see what we look like as we're doing this. And sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. But usually
we're gorgeous. We're gorgeous.
Well, I didn't say we weren't gorgeous. I'm just saying, you know, seeing what we're talking doesn't always fill in the gap. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Just saying. But Alex, tell people how they can subscribe on YouTube.
Well, what you want to do is you go on down to LOA Today podcast videos on YouTube, and when you see our smiling faces, you go down below, hit the red subscribe button, then take it over to the other side and hit the, what is it, silver bell, and make sure you click all so you will always be notified when we're live.
See, now that was an instance where you really wanted to see the video, because then you'd see the hand motions to the left and the hand motions to the right and so forth, and that would make even more sense than it did without. Not that it didn't make sense without, but.
You know, right, yeah. But I do it for both.
It's like a dance, right?
Yeah, it is.
So we started with a dance. We're ending with a dance. That's an appropriate. It's like completing the cycle. That's good.
Exactly. That's good.
So any last thoughts about – I don't even know what the topic is. I'll have to figure out what the topic is today and make that the title of the show. But whatever the topic of the show was, any last thoughts before we're signing off? Dan, what's your last contribution to what we were talking about?
We see what we choose, and we're choosing now.
Mm. That's good. That's good. Alex, how about your end?
I think the topic of the show should be, what was the topic?
What was the topic?
Well, everything is here. Everything is now. Everything and nothing. Everything and nothing.
Everything and nothing. Yep.
Everything and nothing.
Co-signing. Everything and nothing.
Yep.
Hashtag.
Well, it's enigmatic, but it doesn't say anything. That's good.
Yep.
So we'll go with that. And with that thought in mind, I will say I hope you enjoyed everything about the show and that you didn't dislike nothing about it.
That was golden.
And with that thought in mind, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.